ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांतिः प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नो माया सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाचान्यान् समति विभवान् ज्योतिषस्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगतगुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः पूर्वश्लोकार्थस्य हेतुमाह दिस् इस् सौ शङ्कर भगवत्पाद इण्ट्रोड्यूसस् दिस् 33rd कारिका वाट् वास् दि पूर्वश्लोकार्थः वाट् वास् द मीनिङ्ग् आफ् दि प्रीवियस् वर्स् फार् विच् हि गिव्स् एन् अदर् रीसन् हियर् इवन् दो द रीसन् वास् आल्रेडि गिवन् Atma alone is there. There is no second thing other than the Atma. So, from the standpoint of the Atma alone is there means definitely there is no creation, there is no existence, there is no birth, death, etc. of the Jagat which is not really there. It is not now existent for it to have the creation. Dissolution, etc. So the Jagat being Mithya was established Therefore, jagat is mithya means jagat is as well as non-existent. So being non-existent, it cannot have creation or dissolution. The reason was given. Similarly, another reason also is given here. In this same thing, again, to emphasize the meaning, again, he gives another reason. The reason is given in this Karika. So, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Pura Shlokartasya Hetu Maha. Okay. Bhavairasadbhirevayam, advayena cha kalpitaha, bhava apyadvayenaiva, tasmadadvayata shiva. Okay. So in this verse, the first line, Gaudapada Acharya states, I am asadbihi bhavaihi advayena cha kalpitaha. The word I am in the verse, which means this, that this indicates what? Atma. This Atma alone is imagined as asad bihi bhavehi. Asad bhavaha means mithya, non-real, as though existent objects in terms of forms, names and functions. Then the same Atma is also imagined to be advayena. Means what? As the adhishtanam. Okay. So before we go to the next line, let us understand here. Gaudapada Acharya and also in Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary, these two words should be understood. What the first word? Asadbhavaha. The means non-existent, as though existent, non-real, mithya objects. They're all said to be projections of the Atma or projections superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore, all the superimposed projected objects come under the category of adhyasaha. Understand? So one word adhyasaha means what? Superimposition or actually erroneous perception. So erroneously projected objects come under the category of adhyasaha. So that mithya adhyasa is possible only if there is satya adhishtanam. Mithya adhyasa cannot be without satya adhishtanam. There cannot be snake without its adhishtanam rope. So that adhishtanam is another word. So adhyasaha adhishtanam. So what the first sentence says is, the only secondless reality Atma is here as adhyasaha, is here as the adhishtanam also. This is the content of the first sentence. Atma alone is there as adhyasa, Atma alone is there adhishtanam. And this word adhyasaha has synonyms here. What are the synonyms here? We are going to understand here. Adhyasaha is also said to be adhyastam. Adhyastam is a participle. Adhyasaha is noun. Still, noun is taken to be noun. The parts were taken to be noun here. You can say adhyasaha or adhyastham. Adhyastham is what? Projected, superimposed. Adhyasaha, superimposition, projection. Then, this adhyasaha, otherwise said to be adhyastham, is also said to be the dvaitam. Adhyasaha is said to be adhyastam, is also said to be dvaitam. You have to understand how they are synonyms, dvaitam. So what Acharya says, Gaudapacharya says in the first line, dvaitam is also Atma's projection. Now, Advaitam is also Atma's projection. Atma alone is imagined to be Dvaitam. Atma alone is said to be Advaitam. Now, if Adhyasaha is Adhyastam, Adhyastam is said to be Dvaitam, then Adhishtanam is there. Adhishtanam is said to be anadhyastam. Adhishtanam is said to be anadhyastam. The superimposition is what? Superimposed the adhyastam, which is dvaitam. And adhishtanam is non-superimposed. Anadhyastam is advaitam. You have to see these words to be synonyms here. So that is why Gaudapacharya uses the term advayena. Atma eva kalpita. Ayam eva kalpitaha. Means what? Atma alone is projected. Atma alone is imagined to be, imagined as adhyasaha, implying all the countless number of objects. Nana, okay? Asadbihi bhavehi. Non-existent, non-real, mithya objects. Adhyasaha. Atma alone is imagined to be adhyastam. Atma alone imagined to be world of duality. Dvaitam. Now, Advayena cha kalpitaha. The same Atma is imagined to be adhishtanam, anadhyastam, advaitam. So what he wants to say, this adhyasaha and adhishtanam are two titles. The two titles, how Ishvara is a title attributed to the Atma, Jiva is a title attributed to the Atma. Yeah, here also, Adhyasaha and Adhishtanam also, two different titles attributed to the only Atma. From which standpoint? From the standpoint of empirical reality. From the standpoint of Vyavaharikam Satyam. From the standpoint of empirical reality, these titles are attributed to the Atma for the purpose of understanding, for the purpose of teaching. From the standpoint of Atma, the non-dual secondless reality, Atma is neither Adhyasaha, Atma is nor the Adhishtanam. So the through two drishtis, Paramarthika Drishtihi and Vyavaharika Drishtihi. From the standpoint of, from the angle of empirical reality, Adhyastam, Adhyasaha is Atma, Adhishtanam also is Atma. from the standpoint of paramarthikam satyam, paramarthika drishtya, the standpoint of absolute reality, atma, atma is neither the adhishtanam nor the adhyasaha. Like how in the previous verse he said, there is no dissolution, no utpatti, no, there's no creation, there's no dissolution, no moksha, etc. Now he says, in the standpoint of absolute reality, paramarthika drishtya, adhyasaha nasti, adhishtanam api nasti, atma ekaha eva asti. Atma alone is. This is the teaching of the first line. Second line. Bhavaha api advayena eva. Bhavaha, you say, all the existent objects. When you use the term bhavaha, the very word bhavaha means existence only. An object, when you use the word object to indicate something, it must be existent. So bhavaha means existence, existent objects. Okay, all the objects which are existent, which enjoy their existence relatively, all of them enjoy their existence only because of the adhishtanam, otherwise said to be advayam, non-dual reality, which means the mithya adhyasaha, the mithya non-real, as though existent objects do not have independent existence of their own. They enjoy existence only because of the adhishtanam, which is advayam. Advayena eva bhavaha api santi. It means without the adhishtanam, advayam, objects superimposed, projected, adhyasaha, adhyastha bhavaha cannot be there. Therefore, what? The adhishtanam, otherwise said to be adhishtanam, otherwise said to be anadhyastham or advaitam or advayam, is not dependent on the adhyasaha, the bhavas, the objects. Whereas adhyasa is dependent on the adhishtanam. So, dvaitam, dvayam or dvaitam is dependent on advaitam for its existence. Advaitam, the adhishtanam, is not dependent on adhyasaha, advaitam for its existence. Therefore, advayata shiva tasmat, therefore, advayata shiva. Therefore, non-duality is auspicious. Why it's auspicious? Because it is of the nature of everlasting existence. Advayata or advaitam is of the nature of everlasting existence. It is of the nature of independent existence. Therefore, it is auspicious. Non-duality is auspicious. Why? Because in dependence, there is bondage. In bondage, there is suffering. There are afflictions. There is pain. Therefore, in independence, there is freedom. In freedom, there is no sorrow. Therefore, advayata is auspicious. Okay? This is the literal meaning of the karika. Already I have explained, okay, nothing more to be understood. What he says, therefore what? The two different drishtis, two different angles, two different, the view of two different, from two different angles. Paramarthika drishtihi and vyavaharika drishtihi. Is there adhyasaha? Yes. Is there adhishtanam? Yes. But from which standpoint? Vyavaharika drishtya. From the standpoint of empirical reality, there is adhishtana, adhishtita, vyavahara. Supreme, isn't it? Adhishtana, adhishtana, adhishtita, vyavahara. But from the standpoint of atma, the paramarthikam satyam, there is no adhishtanam, there is no adhyasaha also. Two different angles. That is why first he says, only atma is there as the adhyasa and as the adhishtanam. And uses the term advayam in the place of adhishtanam. Okay. This is the content of the first line. Second line states, bhavaha api advayena. Means what? All the objects have this advayam, atma as the only adhishtanam. Therefore, all of them have different existence. Therefore, they are not auspicious. Whereas advayam, advayata shiva, because adhishtanam, advaitam is independent of the bhavas. Therefore, it is of the in independence, there is auspiciousness. There is happiness. There is no limitation, there is no bondage, there is no sorrow. That is the idea. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Okay. Now, we have to enter into the bhashyam. Before we enter into the bhashyam, we have to remember here the teaching of the previous Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary given in the previous commentary on the previous shloka. Not everything, at least a certain bit, some bit. So there, it was said, Atma alone is there. Atma is secondless, non-dual reality. But Atma is attributeless. So, the Pura Pakshi, the Shunyavadi, came there to present his doubt that if Atma is attributeless, Atma is not available for any pramanam, therefore Atma is not an object, therefore Atma is non-existent, because pramana shunyatvat, abhavat. There's no pramanam for establishing the existence of the Atma, because Atma is attributeless, if it's not available for any pramanam. If Atma is non-existent, why Atma is not known, therefore Atma is non-existent. Atma is unknown, Atma is not known, therefore it is non-existent. And being non-existent, being unknown, this Atma cannot subject itself to be, itself to be projected, itself to superimpositions, projections. How can an unknown Atma, non-existent Atma, be unknown, subject itself to superimpositions? This was the actual doubt presented by Purupakshi in a context. We saw that yesterday, but I won't make it clear. Because this needs to be understood in this context also. Then, Shankara Bhagavatpada gave an answer. What was the answer? Atma is existent. Atma is not non-existent. Atma is existent. In fact, Atma is of the nature of existence of everything. But that Atma is not totally unknown. Quickly, he asked the question, why does a pramanam required? Atma is unknown. Atma. So, the question continues as what? The non-existent unknown Atma cannot subject itself to projections, superimpositions. Therefore, how can there be superimpositions? Therefore, idea was mithya. Cause also is mithya, effect also is mithya. So Atma is non-existent. Therefore, Jagat also is non-existent. There is only Shunyam. That's what he wanted to establish, want to say. But Shankaracharya said, no, Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is known partially. How? The existence of Atma is known as I, the first person singular pronoun, asmat pratyayaha. Asmat pratyayaha. So, the Bhashmat is the term used is prasiddha. Atma is not totally aprasiddha. Atma is totally aprasiddha. Atma is not totally unknown. But Atma is prasiddha. Atma is known in terms of its existence. The existence of the Atma is known as I am. I, the first person singular pronoun, which is called asmat pratyayaha. Atma is known as aham. Aham asmi, asmat pratyayaha. And it is self-evident. So here the question comes, again Purupakshi says, if Atma is known as Ahamasmi, then how can there be superimpositions? There should not be superimpositions. The superimpositions, erroneous perceptions, are possible only if there is ignorance. You say Atma is known. Why there are superimpositions? Again, the answer is given, is Atma is known only in terms of its existence as I am, but Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is not totally known also. Atma is not totally known also. In fact, I am is known. What I am is not known. Existence of Atma is known in terms of I am, but the essential nature of the Atma is not known. Therefore, there's no total ignorance, there's no total knowledge. It means there's no purna ajnanam, there's no purna jnanam also. Purna vidya is not there, purna vidya is also not there. See, the beauty here is, unless there is already self-evident Atma, the pramanam cannot have existence. The existence of pramanam itself is possible only because of this self-evident Atma. So Atma is there even before the Shastram comes. To say Shastram is. Is it? Therefore Atma is already there. Okay. Now, but what is not prasiddham? Aham asmi, I am is prasiddham, well known. Aham Satyam Jnanam Brahma Asmi is aprasiddham, is unknown. This what is what? When you say aham asmi, this atma being self-evident is what is said to be swatasiddhatvam. Swatasiddhatvam means atma having not just self-existence, knowledge of existence of the atma being there is said to be swatasiddhatvam. Okay. So, there is partial ignorance. That is why there is room for superimpositions. Aham asmi is there. Aham Brahma asmi is not there. Is not known. Therefore, Atma is mistaken to be other than what it is. Adhyasa is possible. So the adhyasa is because of what now? This partial ignorance. Okay. One thing. So here, Shankara Bhagavatpada also makes it clear with an example, the rope snake example. He said out there, yes, even in this rope snake example, we say the rope is mistaken to be snake or streak of water, etc. The superimposition of snake, etc. upon the rope is because of the ignorance of what is this rope. But even there, rope is not totally unknown. Even there, rope is not totally unknown means the knowledge of the existence of the rope is already there even before the superimposition takes place. Knowledge of the existence of the rope is how? Okay, when we say the sentence is, we say when the person sees this is snake, and the person says this is snake, that word this in this is snake. The word this in this is snake, implying thisness, stands for the knowledge of the existence of this snake, rope. Knowledge of the existence of the rope. This is snake there. Of course, there's ignorance. So, what he wants to say, the rope also is not totally unknown. Even though there is ignorance, there is the existence of the rope is not known. As an existent, the existence of the rope is known, but what that rope is not, what that object is not known. It means the rope being an existent object is known. And you say, this knowledge of the existence of the rope means rope being an existent object is known. That this is snake in that sentence, the word this indicates the knowledge of the rope being an existent object is known. Being there is known. Therefore, but what it is not known. Which means there is an object. This indicates that this in the sentence, this is snake. This indicates what? There is something. There is an object, existent object, available in given time, in a given place. That is there. But what that existent object is not known. Even in that rope snake example, even in the rope is mistaken to be a snake, that adhyasa is possible because there is partial knowledge of the rope in terms of its existence, this partial ignorance of the rope, what it is. What it is not known, but it, something is known. Yes, or total ignorance. Okay. So this knowledge of the existence of the rope being an existent object is said to be what? Objectness. Astitvam. Astitvajnanam. Astitvajnanam means knowledge of existence of an object. In fact, in any error, in any adhyasa, any superimposition, definitely there is knowledge of the existence of the object. Object being existent is known. There is no total ignorance. So, the knowledge of the object being existent is said to be what? Objectness. Astitvam. Vastutvam. Whereas, the existent object being rope is not known, which is what? Rajutvam. Ropeness is not known. Objectness is known. Ropeness is not known. Okay? We have to explain the same thing. In the same way. In the same way, there is Atma, there is always knowledge of the existence of the Atma. So Atma is always known in terms of its existence as I am. So here, to have the knowledge of the existence of any given object, we definitely need to use some pramanam or the other. Without using any given appropriate means of knowledge, existence of any object, every object, cannot be known. Even to say there is, it is, this is a snake, this is a rope, to have the knowledge of existence of anything, one has to make use of one's eyes. I have to see and I have to say, this is rope, this is snake, this is window. So this, the word this, don't take it for granted. This word this, the third person singular pronoun, this, okay, is knowledge. Knowledge of the existence of something or the other. That's why idam. Idam means what? Ishvara. Okay. So idam asti. Idam asti. This is. This is. And this is. Then this is a snake. This is a rope. This is window. In establishing a knowing the existence of any object, definitely there is a means of knowledge, a pramanam, some sort of proof, some evidence is required. Without evidence, without pramanam, without the proof, the existence of anything is not known. Whereas, how is Atma known? The existence of the Atma is known as I am. So, existence of Atma is known as I am. To know the existence of the Atma, pramanam is not required because Atma is the subject. Atma happens to be a subject. Atma happens to be one's own self. Existence of the Atma is known, for which pramanam is not required. That's why we say self-evident. Atma is self-evident. To know your existence, you are the evidence. You are the evidence for your existence. You are the proof for your existence. Therefore, now we say, again I can say this word, Svatasiddhatvam. Svatasiddhatvam. But here, even though Atma is self-evident, so Atma, what Atma is not known, the essential nature of Atma is not known. And there are innumerable countless number of superimpositions upon the Atma as Ishvaraha, Jivaha, etc. And to negate all those superimpositions alone, Shastram is required. Now we have to understand why Shastram is required. Okay, Shastra Pramana, to have the existence of anything, you need a Pramana. Then to know the existence, not the existence, what the existent object is, to know you need a Pramana. Whereas to know the existence of Atma, you know, don't require the Pramana. In fact, only to negate the superimpositions, okay, on the Atma, Pramana is required. What is the Pramanam for? So, what Shastram says, Atma is known enough to subject itself to superimpositions. Atma is not to subject itself to of superimpositions. Therefore, this must be remembered. Therefore, for this purpose only, for this purpose of eliminating, negating the superimpositions upon the Atma, Shastram is required as the Pramanam. Okay, therefore, we should not say Shastram is totally unknown. In fact, the Shastram also is. Here is the Shastram. This is Shastram. Remember, this Aham Asmi Jnanam must be there for Idam Asti Jnanam to be there. So the knowledge of existence of anything and everything presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the Atma. Aham Asmi should be there. Only then Idam Asti is possible. Shastram also what? Idam Asti. Shastram comes under the category of Idam Asti. This is. Therefore, Shastram comes later only. Atma is already there as self-evident Atma. Therefore, it's appropriate for Shastram to be used only to negate the superimpositions. To see what Atma is not. This is what he says. Now, here what happens? This knowledge of the existence of the, for the knowledge of the existence of the Atma to be there. I said, not just existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the object to be there, there must be knowledge of the existence of the subject. Aham Asmi should be there for Idam Asti to be there. So, which means, I am, this is. This any object being existence, the knowledge of the existence of the Atma, existence of the object, is it means what? Knowledge of the object being existent is otherwise said to be object consciousness. What is object consciousness or object awareness? Knowledge of the existence of the object is said to be object awareness or object consciousness. for the object consciousness to be there, there must be knowledge of the self, knowledge of the existence of the self, existence of the Atma, which is subject consciousness. Okay? So knowledge of the existence of the Atma is subject consciousness. I mean self-consciousness, self-awareness, or subject awareness. So, object awareness, object consciousness is dependent on the subject consciousness. Whereas, subject consciousness is not dependent on any other consciousness. Why? Because subject consciousness in terms of I, okay, am, itself is one and the only secondless consciousness. There's no other consciousness. I itself is what? Consciousness. Refers to consciousness. This is what we understand. So, now, still then what happens? The superimpositions happen. So when you say this is snake, the rope is mistaken to be or a crack on earth or any stick, etc. Many objects can be superimposed upon the rope other than what it is. So when you say there is snake, this is snake, this is crack on the earth, this is a streak of water, or this is stick. Okay, all these are superimpositions on rope. In all this sense, before knowledge, in ignorance, when there's ignorance of the rope being rope, when ignorance of the rope, what rope is, okay, when ignorance of the rope is, in ignorance, when the superimpositions are there, you say what? This is snake, this is streak of water, this is. So different superimpositions, different objects are superimposed upon the rope. But in knowledge, in the wake of knowledge of the rope being a rope, all these superimpositions are negated. Then what say? This is not snake, this is not streak of water, this is not a crack on the earth, this is rope. So in ajnanam, in jnanam, even when the ignorance of the rope is, this is there. So in knowledge also, the same this continues to be there. This is rope, this is stick. In ignorance, before the knowledge, when there is ignorance, the time of ignorance, the superimposition is there also, the word this is. After the knowledge also, the superimpositions all become negated, subject to negation. This is rope. That this continues to be there. Okay? That this, in this is rope, etc. sentences, that thisness is, quote what? Empirical reality, relative reality. Means this doesn't unchange, this doesn't change. What is empirically real doesn't change from the standpoint of the superimposition. The superimpositions change. This doesn't change. Similarly, we have to see now there's so many superimpositions loaded on Atma. First we say what? Ishvara, Jivaha, Jagat, Mit, Maya, etc. They're all negated. Now, Aham Asmi is beautiful knowledge. Aham Asmi is what? Knowledge. When you say Aham Asmi, this is knowledge. Aham Asmi Dukhi. Aham Asmi Sukhi. I am unhappy. I am happy. Aham Karta. Aham Asmi Karta. Aham Asmi Bhokta. I am doer, I am enjoyer, etc. When these attributes are added to the Aham Asmi, the Jnanam, the mere knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am is beautiful. It is a blessing in disguise, which alone helps us later on to discover what I am. The partial knowledge can become the total knowledge because of this partial knowledge. If this partial knowledge is not there, total knowledge is impossible. How can you know what you are if you do not know you are? Therefore, it's a blessing in this case, Aham Asmi. But when the partial, because the partial ignorance, when Atma is mistaken to be other than what it is, when the Adhyasa happens, erroneous self perception of the Atma happens, then all the attributes of Anatma become superimposed upon the Atma. Then what happens? Aham Asmi Dukhi, Aham Asmi Sukhi, Aham Asmi Karta, Aham Asmi Bhokta. All these attributes are added to the knowledge of self-existence. Then, this knowledge of self-existence with the added attribute is said to be erroneous notion of the self, about the self, erroneous knowledge of the self, which is ahankara. The knowledge of self-existence itself with attribute, added attribute, because of erroneous perception, is what now? Ahankara. So when the Shastra Pramanam helps us to negate all these erroneous attributes superimposed upon the Atma, then there is knowledge. Aham Satchidananda Atma Asmi. Aham Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Asmi. So in all these different superimpositions also, Aham Dukhi Asmi, Aham Sukhi Asmi, Aham Asmi Karta, Aham Asmi Bhokta, the superimpositions are all different. They are negatable. Aham Asmi does not change. Aham Asmi continues to be there. In ignorance, when there is ignorance of the Atma in terms of what I am, there is Aham Asmi, Jnanam is there, continuously there. Even after the Jnanam, the Pramanam serves its purpose, even in the wake of the, after the Jnanam, when all the superimpositions are negated, Aham Asmi Brahma. Aham Asmi Satchidananda Atma. There, Aham Asmi continues to be there. How idam, this, the word this, continues to be there in the rope, in rope ignorance, in rope knowledge. So also, in self ignorance, also, Aham Asmi is there. In self-knowledge also, Aham Asmi continues to be there. Aham Asmi. So this continuity of the knowledge of self-existence, I am, I am, I am, I am. This knowledge of self-existence was there, has been there beginninglessly, is now also will be there forever also. Okay. It may remain unmanifested, it may remain manifested, but it's always there. Therefore, what? It shows the changelessness, being the swarupam of the Atma. Not only that, everlasting existence being the nature of the Atma. So Atma is ever of the nature of existence. Atma is of the nature of everlasting existence. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. This is understood from this continuity of the existence of this knowledge of self-existence being there, even in ignorance, even in knowledge. Doesn't change. Okay. This we have to remember all this. It's all from the commentary on Shankaracharya's commentary on previous Karika. This is what he established already. Therefore, pramanam is required only for understanding, okay, what I am, the essential nature of the Atma. Okay. With context, now another question should come. What is the question? If all that is, there is only Atma, who causes this projection? Who does this superimposition? There's no second thing other than Atma. Suppose when somebody looks at the rope and mistakes it to be a snake, he says, this is snake. Okay? The person is not the rope, it is not a snake. Snake is different from the person who says, this is snake. Rope is different from the person. Snake is different from the person. Okay? The real rope and the non-real snake, both are different from the person who says, this is rope. The person, when later he discovers this is snake, this is rope. The two, right object, rightly perceived object, wrongly perceived object are different from the person who says. He is the one who sees. Project, the one who causes, does the projection, is different from the rope or the snake. Whereas here, who, when you say, Adhyastam is Atma. Adhishtanam is also Atma. So the question comes, who is the one who really causes the projection? Who is the one who does the projection? We say there is none, okay, who does the projection other than Atma. How Atma, that question comes when Amaya comes. The one who projects, one who causes the projection, does the projection, is Atma. Then the question comes, oh my God, why does Atma does the projection? No, Atma does not project. This is the answer. Okay, which means this is how Atma is. Yeah, which means Atma does not project, means this projecting is nothing but manifesting its power. Projecting is nothing but manifesting, expressing its power. That is the nature of the Atma. Why? Okay. Again, what is this power? We have to understand that we see next. We'll understand the following Karika. Is it clear? With this understanding, let us go to the Bhashyam. I think you made it very clear today. The 33rd Karika, I'm reading the Bhashyam now. So Shankaracharya says, Yatha Rajvam Asad Bihi Sarpadharadi Bihi. Until then, if we யதா ரஜ்வாம் அசத்பிஹி சர்ப்பதாராதிபிஹி. Just as many false non-real objects such as snake, the Adi Shabda stands for streak of water, a crack on earth, etc., are superimposed upon the rope. Just as all these non-real objects are superimposed upon the rope, so also advayena cha rajudravyena sata rajudravyena sata ayam sarpaha yam dhara dandahayam iti va rajudravyameva kalpyate e kalpyate. Until then same meaning. Just as the one non-dual rope alone is there, on this one non-dual rope alone, the many non-real objects are superimposed. Asadbihi sarpadaradibihi. How? Rajudravyena satayam. Only when there is rope. How yam ke ayam sarpaha, this is snake. Yam dhara, this is streak of water. Dandaha ayam, this is stick, iti, etc. Va rajudravyam eva kalpyate. So the word rajudravyam is very important, okay? Rajudravyam eva kalpyate means what? Adishta, Rajju is the Adishtanam. Rajju is the substance. Rajju is the substance. Rajju is the reality. Rajju Dravyam eva, the rope, the existent rope alone, Adishtanam rope alone is there. And these objects are superimposed, means rope alone is imagined to be all these non-real objects as this is snake, this is stick of water, this is stick, etc. Okay. The real rope is imagined to be non-real as though existent objects such as snake, stick of water, etc. யதா ரஜ்வாம் அசத்பிஹி சர்ப்பதாராதிபிஹி அத்வயேன ச ரஜ்ஜுத்ரவ்யேன சதா அயம் சர்ப்பஹ அயம் தாரா தண்டஹ அயம் இதி வா ரஜ்ஜுத்ரவ்யம் ஏவ கல்ப்யதே. ஒன் செகண்ட்லெஸ் ஹியர் ஒன் நான் டியூவல் ரோப் அலோன் ஈஸ் இமேஜின்ட் டு பி டிஃபரண்ட் நான் ரியல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். ரியல் rope is mistaken to be non-real objects. Evam, in this manner, pranadibihi anantaihi asadbihi eva avidyamanaihi. In the same way, different non-real non-real, non-existent, avidyamanehi asadbihi, non-real, non-existent objects such as prana, etc., are superimposed of the atma, means atma is imagined to be all these non-real objects. What is said in the mantra Karika is repeated here by Shankaracharya. But he adds one word. What is one word? Na paramarthataha. Na paramat, not from the standpoint of absolute reality. Which means this adhyasaha, adhishtanam, etc., these titles, okay, are given to the only Atma from two different, isn't it? From the standpoint of the aparamarthika drishtya. Aparamarthika means what? Vyavaharikam. non paramarthika drishti, is vyavaharika drishti, not from the standpoint of absolute reality atma na paramarthataha. We give the example also. We give the rope example, rope snake example. Rope is the one non-dual rope, and this one rope is imagined to be various obstacles, snakes, sick of water, etc. Therefore, rope is adhishtanam. They are all adhyasas, adhyastam, adhyastavastuni. Similarly, so, atma is one non-dual atma. Okay, and mistaken to be what? Different objects, imagined to be different objects. So, atma is the only adhishtanam. For this adhyasas, we say, this adhyasaha adhishtanam, these terms are used. Okay, atma alone is there. Therefore, atma alone is there. Adhyasa also must be atma. Adhishtanam also is atma. Because adhyasas are non-different from adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is non-separate from the adhyasas. But atma alone is. Once you arrive at it, from the standpoint of the absolute reality atma, there is neither adhyasaha nor adhishtanam. It is only from the standpoint of vyavaharika empirical reality, we talk about adhyasaha and adhishtanam. That is what the teaching here. Na paramarthataha, then he gives an answer, why? Why these bhavas are not real? We have to understand that first. Nahi aprachalite manasi kaschit bhavaha upalakshayitum shakyate kenachit. There is why objects are not real. Why they are as though existent. Why they are mere non-substantial appearances. Why? Is given. Aprachalite manasi. See, prachalitam manaha means functional mind. Prachalitam means what? Movement. Okay. Prachalitam manasi. Prachalite manasi. When the mind is functional, it is possible to see this adhyasas. Okay. The so-called world of duality with its countless number of forms, names and functions. Whereas, aprachalite manasi. When the mind is non-functional, aprachalite manasi, when the mind is non-functional, kenachit kaschit bhavaha upalakshitam na shakyate. It is not possible for anyone to see any object when the mind is non-functional, which means to see an object, to have the knowledge of the existence of the object also. For the object, any object to be existent, even for the world of duality to be there, mind must be functional. Okay? If mind is not functional, the world of duality disappears. Mind is functional, world of duality appears, which means this, all these adhyasas and the adhishtha, okay, all these adhyasas are dependent on what? The function of mentation, function of the mind. Therefore what? They don't have independent existence. Therefore they're all not real. First he gives his answer. He explains this. Then he says, Nacha atmanaha prachalanam asti. Atma does not have any movement. Atmanaha prachalanam nasti. Atma does not have any movement means what? Atma is not subject to change. Atma is ever of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Therefore what? Atma is ever of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. I mean, Atma is not dependent on the mind. Like the world of dualities depend on the mind. But Atma is the one which enters existence to the mind itself. So he mentions that. Atmanaha na prachalanam asti. Then he says, prachalitasya eva upalabhyamanaha bhavaha na paramarthataha santaha kalpaitum shakyaha. What he says, it is not possible to state that all these countless number of objects to be real because they are available only when there is function of the mind. Prachalitasya eva upalabhyamanaha bhavaha. When are these countless number of objects available for experience? Only when there is function, when the mind is functional. Therefore, paramarthataha santaha kalpaitum na shakyaha. It is not possible to say that they are permanent, they are absolute. Paramarthataha santi, they are absolutely real. It is not possible to say. All these objects are not absolutely real. They are only relatively real, empirically real, because they are available for experience only when the movement of the mind, only when this function of the mind. They are not there when the function of the mind is not there. When the mind does not function, they are not there. When the mind is functional, they are there. Therefore what? They are not absolutely real. They are only paramarthataha na santi, santaha kalpaitum na shakyaha. So he says, ataha, therefore, asadbihi eva pranadi bhavaihi advayena cha paramartha satatmana rajjivate sarva vikalpaspada bhutena ayam swayameva atmana kalpitaha. Therefore, what he says now, ataha asadbireva pranadibhi bhavaihi advayena paramartha sata atmana. Only Atma alone is imagined to be all these non-real, non-existent, okay, objects, superimposed objects such as prana, etc. Therefore what? Rajjivate sarva vikalpaspada bhutena. Very important sentence what? This Atma, which alone is imagined to be this varieties of forms, names and functions, is the adhishtanam. Aspada bhutaha atma. Aspada bhutaha atma means what? Atma is the adhishtanam. It is the atma which is there as the adhishtanam of these, all these non-existent, non-real objects alone, is imagined to be those objects also. This is what is exactly he says. Okay? It is the Atma, absolutely real Atma, which is in the form of the Adhishtanam, the existence of all these non-real, as though existent, mithya form objects, alone is imagined to be the mithya objects also, non-real objects also. Okay, how? Who projects? How? Who causes this superimposition? We will see that later on. Swayameva Atma Kalpitaha. Atma, Swayameva Kalpitaha. Atma is imagined to be these objects by Atma himself. But still, Sada Ek Swabhavaha Api San. Okay. In spite of Atma being ever of the nature of changelessness. Sada Eka Swabhavaha. Very nice sentence, okay? Atma சதா ஏக சுபாவகா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஆத்மா இஸ் எவர் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் சேஞ்ச்லெஸ்னஸ், எவர் ஆஃப் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் எவர் லாஸ்டிங் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ். இன் ஸ்பைட் ஆஃப் பீயிங் எவர் ஆஃப் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் சேஞ்ச்லெஸ்னஸ், ஸ்டில் ஆத்மா அலோன் இஸ் இமேஜின்ட் டு பி திஸ் மித்யா நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் ஆஸ் தோ எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் நான் ரியல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ. ஓகே, நவ் வி கோ டு நெக்ஸ்ட் பேஜ். சாரி, ஐ டிட் டெல் பேஜ் நம்பர், சாரி 388. Anyway, whatever, I read this also already in 388 only. See, already I explained to you, nothing much here. We'll see that. All that he wants to state is what? From the standpoint of absolute reality, there is no adhyasaha, there is no adhishtanam. The standpoint of empirical reality, there is adhishtanam, adhyasaha, all these things can be discussed. Okay, next. Techa, pranadi bhavam, pranadi, see this one mistake is there. You have to correct pranadi bhavaha. If you are following Sanskritam in Phonology's book in page number 388, please make a correction. It not pranadi bhavam, pranadi bhavaha it must be. He says, Techa pranadi bhavaha api advayena eva sata atmana vikalpitaha. I am not repeating, don't tell me. Shankara Bhagavad Pada is stating Techa pranadi bhavaha, all those objects, prana means what, the entire world of plurality of objects. அப்படி அத்வயேன ஏவ சதா ஆத்மனா விகல்பிதா, they're all projected by ஆத்மா himself, means ஆத்மா alone is imagined to be. That means all of them are projected by ஆத்மா only. Who is the one? There's a second person who comes. In Rajju Sarpa, the one who sees erroneously is the third person. Whereas here who? ஆத்மன ஏவ. Which Atma? Advayena Sata Atmana. This Atma, which alone is the Adhishtanam of all these countless number of objects, projected objects. By this Atma alone, they are projected. Vikalpitaha. Which means, therefore what he wants, say Shankaracharya. See, he is very careful. Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, he wants to consciously negate Shunyavadi's, Kshanika Vijnanavadi's view. Because for them, there is no Aspadam, there is no Sadvastu, there is only non-existence, isn't it? Therefore, he wants to say here, Niraspada, Nahi Niraspada Kachit Kalpana Upalabhyate. Niraspada Kalpana means what? No projection, no superimposition, no imagination, is available without its substratum. Nice sentence that is, Niraspada Kalpana Kachit Na Upalabhyate. Niraspada Kalpana means what? A mithya projection is not available without its substratum. So, if this by Atma, the Atma which is there, substratum of the objects alone, by Atma alone, all these non-real objects are projected. Therefore, what is the meaning here? This entire world of plurality of objects projected are non-different from Atma. Therefore, Atma is non-separate from those projected objects. Ataha, therefore, Sarva kalpanaspadatvat. So Atma has sarva kalpana aspadatvam. Atma has sarva kalpana aspadatvam. Atma enjoys the status of being the substratum, the adhishtanam of all projections. Because all projections are Atma's only. All projected by Atma himself. Sarva Atma, sarva aspadatvam. Sarva kalpana aspadatvam. Sarva kalpana aspadatvam. Sarvasam kalpananam aspadatvam. Sarva kalpana aspadatvam. Atmanaha asti. Atma enjoys the status of being the aspadam, substratum, adhishtanam of all the non-real as though existent projections, superimpositions. Okay, therefore, because of this reason, what reason? As Atma has the status of being adhishtanam, Atma is the adhishtanam of all the projections and superimpositions. Sarva kalpana aspadatvate svena atmana advayasya avyabhicharat kalpana avastayam api advayata shiva. What important, the main teaching here is what? Advayasya avyabhicharat. Okay. Advayam here, advayam in this context means adhishtanam. Be very careful, okay. Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the word advayam to mean adhishtanam. Advayasya advayasya avyabhicharat. Because of the changelessness. Okay. Avyabhicharat. Vyabhicharaha means change. Avyabhicharaha, changelessness. Advayasya avyabhicharat. Because of, due to the changelessness of the advayam, the adhishtanam. Kalpana avastayam api advayata shiva. Kalpana avastayam is even, see, even at the time of, even when there is ignorance, even at the time of ignorance, even when there is erroneously perceived, even when there is erroneously perceived, even when the superimpositions, when superimpositions, projections are superimposed upon the Atma, even then, Atma is what? Non-dual. This non-dual Atma is auspicious. Kalpana avasthayam api advayata Shiva. Why Shiva? Why auspicious? The importance is what? Avyabhicharat. Adhishtana avyabhicharat. Adhishtanasya advayasya atmanaha avyabhicharat. Because of the changeless nature of the adhishtana atma, atma, this advaya atma, the adhishtana atma is independent, okay? Independent for self-existence. Atma is of nature of self-existence. Adhishtana Atma is of the nature of self-existence. It is not dependent on the projections for its existence. But the projections have existence only in Atma. All these superimpositions and projections do not have independent existence. They borrow, enjoy existence of the Adhishthanam only. Therefore, their mithya, Adhishthanam is satyam. Atma is independent. Therefore, this being independent is why independence nature of the Atma, because of the independence nature of the Atma, this Adhishthanam, it is auspicious. Okay, in independence, there is freedom. There is no dukkham. There's no grief. There's no sorrow. There's no samsara. Thus, it is auspicious. That's the reason he gives. Ataha sarvakalpana agatvat svena atmana. Okay. Advayasya avyabhicharat. Kalpana avasthayam api advayata shiva. Which means what? As I told already, aham asmi. Aham asmi, this knowledge I am. The knowledge of self-existence is there, aham asmi. That reveals what? Everlasting existence being the nature of the Atma. Aham asmi. In ignorance also aham asmi. Superimposition also aham asmi. Kalpana, aham, aham karta, aham asmi karta, aham asmi bhokta, aham asmi dukki, aham asmi sukhi, aham asmi martyaha, aham asmi mukta. In all these, in ignorance, the superimpositions are there, even then aham asmi is there. Now, aham brahma asmi, later on in jnanam also, the only superimposed false attributes become negated. Aham asmi, the existence of the Atma being there continues is known. Aham asmi continues to be there in aham asmi. Aham asmi doesn't go change. Like how in rope knowledge, idam sarpaha asti, this is snake and this is rope. That this does not change. Even the superimposed in ignorance, the snake is seen. In knowledge, rope is seen as rope. Doesn't matter. This continues to exist. Similarly, aham asmi, this knowledge of self exists, continues to be there in ignorance and also in knowledge. Therefore, what? Avyabhicharaha. This Adhishthanam is of the changelessness. Avyabhicharate, because of its not, because it does not change. Kalpana avasthayam api, therefore what? This is independent. We have to say, because of changelessness, it's independent. Because of its independent nature, it is ever auspicious. So the reason for auspiciousness is the changelessness, thereby independence being self-existence and independence being the reason. What reason here? Why it is auspicious? How to see three words here. Atma is of the nature of changelessness because it is ever, if it is of the nature of ever existence. Therefore, it is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, it is independent. Therefore, it is auspicious. Now, he says, kalpanaha evatu ashivaha. Kalpanaha tu eva ashivaha. All projections and projected superimpositions. Superimposed projections, whatever you can say, okay, all are inauspicious. Why inauspicious? They have only dependent existence. So dependence is looked upon as inauspicious. Independence is looked upon as auspicious. In dependence, there is bondage. In bondage, there are limitations. In limitations, there is pain, suffering, afflictions. Therefore, inauspicious. Kalpanaha eva tu ashivaha. Then, Rajju sarpadivat. And he used the reason. He explained very beautifully why. Why kalpanaha ashivaha? Why projections are superimposed? False, non-existent, the unreal projections are inauspicious. Why? Rajju sarpadivat trasadi karinyaha taha. See, trasaha means fear. No? Trasaha means bhayam, fear. Trasa adi means what? Fear, etc. Trasadi karini means what? They cause fear, etc. Which cause fear, etc. Rajju sarpadivat. How the falsely superimposed snake upon the rope causes fear. Similarly, these falsely superimposed or projections also cause fear, etc. Prasadikanya. There's a fear, there's anxiety, there's sense of insecurity. All Adishabda stands for insecurity, anxiety. And where there is fear, definitely there is grief also. So fear, etc., one phenomenon is enough. Okay? Fear is, anxiety will be, insecurity will be there, then pain will be there. All forms of afflictions, pairs of opposites will be there. Therefore, trasadi karinyaha, kalpanaha, all the projections cause the fear, etc., samsara. And therefore, they're ashivaha, therefore they're inauspicious. Now, what is the meaning of the word auspiciousness in the Shastram? That which causes fear, that which causes anxiety, that which causes insecurity, insecure feeling, that which causes grief is inauspicious. This is the meaning of the auspiciousness. That which is the source of, that which does not cause all this is inauspicious. Okay. That which is devoid of all these is inauspicious. Advayata abhaya. It's very nice in this. Advayata abhaya. So non-duality is fearless. Means what? Non-duality is of the nature of fearlessness. Advayata abhaya. Means are this consciousness does not have any fear. So, see, fearlessness means there is no such thing called fear on the part of Atma. Therefore, Advaita means this Adhishthana Satyam, okay, which means existence to all these countless number of objects is of the nature of auspiciousness because it is of the nature of fearlessness. Therefore, being auspicious is equal to being fearless. Auspiciousness is fearlessness. That is the nature of the Atma. Whereas all other bhavas, other kalpa, all other projections, superimposed projections, projective superimpositions really cause fear. Fear, etc. Trasa adhikarinyaha bhavaha. Therefore, they are ashivaha, they are inauspicious. Okay. So, repeatedly Shankaracharya said, niraspada kachit kalpanana upalabhyate. There is no projection which exists independent of the adhishtanam. One sentence. Sarva kalpana aspadatvam atmanaha. Atma is the only satya adhishtanam of all the projections. These two statements, he states here just to say, negate shunyavada. Therefore, never say Atma is non-existent, even though Atma is not non-existent, because Atma is not unknown. Unknown, what is the definition? Anything unknown is non-existent. Yes, Atma is not totally unknown. Atma is known. Again, Atma is not known as an object, but Atma is known as I, Asmat Pratyayaha. The first person singular pronoun, I. Okay. Then, one more sentence here before we go to next Karika. Kutaha cha Advayata Shiva. Kutaha cha Advayata Shiva. Already we understood. Again the question is asked. Don't tell, I am repeating, okay? Kutaha cha Advayata Shiva. Why non-duality? See, Advayata is a feminine noun. Advayatvam. Advaitatvam is what? Neutral nouns. That's all difference. Kutaha Advaita Shiva. Why non-duality is auspicious? The question is, Nana Bhutam Prithaktvam Anyasya Anyasmat Yatra Drishtam Tatra Ashivam Bhavet. Nana Bhutam, that which is in form of many. Okay. Nana Bhutam, where there is plurality, then Prithaktam, Anyasya Anyasmat Prithaktam, one object being different from another object means, where it is seen, where one object being different from another object is seen, Tatra Ashivam Bhavet. Definitely there is inauspiciousness. Where one object being different from the other object is seen, there is, okay, inauspiciousness. What does it mean? If divisions are seen, differences are seen, then plurality is seen. Okay. Multiplicity, plurality is seen where divisions and differences are seen, and there they're all projections. They're all superimpositions. Then they're being limited. One being limited by the other, being different from the other, definitely there is limitation. Okay. Limitation on the part of all the projections. Therefore, there is inauspiciousness. Whereas, Atma is of nature of auspiciousness because of its oneness. Oneness. Oneness, secondlessness. Oneness implies secondlessness. Secondlessness implies what? Fearlessness. Actually, there we understand it. Dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. The fear is because of seeing the second thing. Instead of saying that way, here what to say? Because of oneness, there is fearlessness. Seeing the second thing causes fear. Not seeing the second thing, seeing the oneness being the nature, there is fearlessness. Fearlessness is what? Auspiciousness. Okay, in fearlessness, there is sorrowlessness, grieflessness. Therefore, it is auspicious. So, kutaha cha advayata shiva. Nana bhutam prithaktvam anyasya anyasmad yatra drishtam tatra ashivam bhavet. Therefore, in oneness of reality, secondlessness of the reality, adhishtanam, there is fearlessness, therefore it is auspicious. So Atma is of the nature of auspiciousness. Okay, we'll go to the next Karika. I think whatever confusion was left, if I don't think there was any confusion, though I was still very sleepy in the class, still it was, today it's clarified, isn't it? Okay. Because I did not need to, because Shankar Bhagat Pada's, this commentary we need to know, have this. To understand the commentary of this, and this verse, we need to remind ourselves of what we have already learned. Okay. See, this changelessness is understood how? Only in understanding the continuity of existence. Everlasting existence. So absolute eternity means what now? Absolute eternity means everlasting existence. Timelessness, isn't it? That is what is meant by changelessness. Therefore, it is auspicious. Okay, now, Natma Bhavena Nanedam. Natma Bhavena Nanedam. Nasvenapi Kathanchana. Nasvenapi Kathanchana. Napritang Napritak. Napritang Napritak Kinchit. Napritang Napritak Kinchit. Iti Tattva Vido Viduhu. Iti Tattva Vido Viduhu. Natma Bhavena Nanedam. Vena Nanedam. Nasvenapi Kathanchana. Svenapi Kathanchana. Napritang Napritang Kinchit. Napritang Napritang Kinchit. Napritang Napritang Kinchit. Napritang Napritang Kinchit. Iti Tattva Vido Viduhu. Iti Tattva Vido Viduhu. Okay. This is the concluding verse of this chapter. Why? Because the subject matter of this second prakaranam becomes concluded with this 34th karika. And this 34th karika is significant verse again. Why? Because taking the subject content of this verse, okay? This verse forms the content subject matter of many Vedantic texts. Many acharyas have written books, okay, books in Vedanta, based on the content subject matter of this. This verse has become the content of their books. Means imagine. Why? Because, see, already Shankar Prabhupada explained in his commentary. See how his commentary goes. Commentary is amazing. You can see, Gaudapada Acharya simply said in his Karika, what does he say? Only Atma, only reality. There is no second thing here. Only Atma is imagined to be the non-real countless number of forms. Only Atma is imagined to be the adhishtanam of those countless number of non-real objects. What is the standpoint of empirical reality? They are there. Standpoint of absolute reality, there is no adhishtanam, there is no adhyasaha. He explained that. In his commentary, he says, those bhavas are inauspicious. And whereas adhishtanam is advaitam, is of nature of auspiciousness. To what then he made it very clear? Because of oneness. Because of secondlessness. There is fearlessness. Because of fearlessness, auspiciousness is the nature of the Atma. Okay? He said that. Now he says, what about this plurality? We talk about the world of go to the verse. World of duality, world of plurality, multiplicity implies what? Every object here being different from every other object, which means difference. See, take the word difference. We have to understand the meaning of the word difference. We use the word, use this in singular word. We use plural also. Differences, we say. What is this difference? What are these differences? Where are these differences? Is something called difference exist? Does something called difference exist? Does it exist? Do these differences exist really? Where are they? Oh my God. There is no such a thing called difference at all, absolutely. Why? If different exists, it must be available for knowledge through some pramanam or the other. We cannot prove the existence of the phenomenon called difference. Bhedaha. Existence of the Atma is, okay, does not require pramanam, self-evident. Existence of any object is proved by given pramanam. But what is the pramanam to prove the existence of this phenomenon called a difference? Where is the difference? Where are the differences? If I say, okay, there is a window, there is door, there is wall. I said, okay, each object is different from every other object, which means there's difference. I talk about the difference between window and door, difference between wall and floor. I talk about the difference. But what is the pramanam? For which pramanam is this difference available? Can you see a difference through your eyes? Can you hear the difference through your ears? Which pramanam proves the existence of difference? Without these objects, take away the objects. Where is the difference? It is not possible to establish the existence of difference. There is no pramanam which proves the existence of difference. Therefore, really speaking, absolutely, there is no such a thing called difference at all. See, we talk about the difference between waves. Different waves. So, the plurality gives us the false appearance notion that therefore there is something called difference is there. Absolutely, there's no such thing called difference at all. It's very interesting, very important thing. Okay, we'll understand that. Okay. Because we here will understand what is that with which, the help of which Atma causes the projections. Maya, you answered earlier, no? That Maya has to come here only now. The one who projects itself as many is Atma itself. The many are also Atma. The one who projects also is Atma. There's no second other than the Atma. But how? With the Maya. So here, first of all, let's start from the Maya. This is what Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to help us in his commentary. Understand that. Okay. So let us see the Karika again. Natma bhavena nanedam, na svena pikathanchana. Napratang napratang kinchit. Tang napratang kinchit. Iti tattva vidho viduhu. Tattva vidho viduhu. See, idam. The word idam, this. Idam means this universe. This universe. Atmabhavena. Idam Atmabhavena. In words, this universe is experienced only because of the Atma. Because of the existence of the Atma, universe is experienced. Idam. The universe enjoys existence because of the Atma. Universe is experienced because of the Atma. Nasvenapi kathanchana. Never does this universe exist independently. Svena api nakathanchana. Never does this universe, which is experienced, exist independently. The universe does not have independent existence at all. This is the first meaning of the first sentence. Na atma bhavena idam. What is nana idam? This world of plurality. Nana idam means what? This world of plurality, multiplicity, which is experienced, only because of the atma. It's experienced, which means it enjoys existence, only because of the existence of the Atma. Which means, svena na kathanchana svenapi. This world of plurality does not exist independently by itself. This is the meaning of the first sentence. Second sentence. Na prithak, na aprithak, kinchidapi. Very nice. Okay, if we say this world of plurality exists, is experienced only because of the Atma, does not have independent existence at all, which means, is it separate from the Atma? It is different from the Atma? No. Na prithak. Means what? It is not identical. It is not identical with the Atma. Na prithak. It is not different from the Atma. Na aprithak. Aprithak means what? Identical. It is not identical with the Atma. Nor is it different from the Atma. It is called anirvachaniyatvam. Anirvachaniyatvam is what? Non-definability. It cannot be defined. Non-definability. Anirvachaniyatvam is what? You cannot define this world whether it is real or it is not real. Unreal. It is not unreal. It is not real also. It can be defined. Why? Because you have to write on the Maya. What is this universe? This universe is nothing but manifestation of the knowing power of the Atma, knowing power of the reality. What about the Maya now? If Maya manifested is this world of plurality, the world of plurality unmanifest is Maya means, understand the very Maya itself. Maya is in the form of a universe. Universe will be in the form of Maya. Which means, what about the Maya? Is Maya independent of the Atma? So Maya itself, is Maya different from the Atma? Maya is identical with the Atma. Maya is neither identical with Atma, nor is it different from the Atma. Why? Because Maya has no independent existence. The cause has no independent existence. And the universe being the effect of the Maya. Effect means what? Maya, Maya is karanam, jagat is karyam. Therefore, Maya has no independent existence. Universe also has no independent existence. Therefore, it is mithya that we understand. But here, what about these differences? When the universe remains as Maya, no difference. When do you see the difference? When does this phenomenon called a difference come into existence? When the universe remains as Maya, differences remain unmanifest. Difference also is not there. When the Maya becomes manifested, we talk about the word difference. We use this term difference. So, we have to see it. We'll see it from tomorrow. Okay? This very interesting Bhashyam here, which you will see tomorrow. Only one thing I said, difference is something which is not available for any pramanam. Today, we will stop with it. So, that we'll discuss it tomorrow. So, any specific questions? Samji? Any specific questions today? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.